Will you please turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11. We begin with verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 29. By faith Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered, as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry ground, of which the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed. In the same book, chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, just one verse, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, as a ministering servant, for a testimony of the things to be spoken after. We have been considering together on Moses as the servant of the Lord. Moses was called by God to be his servant, to serve God's purpose in his time. In like manner, brothers and sisters, we are all called to be God's servants, to serve God and his purpose in our generation. Moses was chosen by God. So are we chosen. Chosen even before the foundation of the world, set apart even in our mother's womb, and called by his grace. Because God has chosen Moses, so one day Moses chose God. When he was 40 years old, he chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy all the pleasures of Egypt. And one day, we who have been chosen by God have to make the same choice. Do we choose him more than anything else? Will we rather have him than to have anything in the world? Moses was not only chosen, but we find that God trained him. He had to learn and unlearn and learn. And that's the same thing that will happen to us. There are many things that we have to learn, and after we have learned them, we think that we can depend upon them, we have to unlearn them, and then we have to learn furthermore of our God. And it's only through such a process that we become usable in the hands of God. In serving God, there are a few things that are absolutely necessary. We mentioned one thing last time, authority and meekness. Moses served God with authority. Not authority that comes from man, but authority that comes from God. Authority according to the life of God, according to the gift of God. But such authority must be exercised with meekness. And Moses was the meekest of all men. And through authority and meekness, he was able to serve God's purpose. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to know what spiritual authority is. It is not a matter of position. It is a matter of life. And we need to exercise that authority with meekness, that is, not thinking of ourselves, but only of Him. Now this morning we would like to conclude our consideration with Moses with another thing that is absolutely needed if we want to serve God well. And that is faith and faithfulness. Moses served God with faith, and he served God with faithfulness. You know, without faith, no one can please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we are told that he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of him who seek after him. If we do not have faith, there is not even a beginning in our spiritual life. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. And by faith, when Moses was 40 years old, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather the reproach of Christ than all the riches of Egypt. Because he considered the recompense. By faith. It is by faith that Moses became what he was. Now there is a verse here in Hebrews 11 which says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as seeing him who is invisible. Now, if you read Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the last sentence, then Moses feared and said, surely the matter is known. Now, according to the record of Exodus, when the news got out that Moses killed an Egyptian, and when he heard that the news was spread, he was afraid, because he knew the matter must be known to the king. And for this reason, he fled. And yet, in Hebrews, when the Holy Spirit comments on that incident, the Holy Spirit said, by faith, he left Egypt. Now, in Exodus, he said he fled. But here he said he left. He forsook Egypt. In Exodus, he said he feared that the matter was known to the king. But here he said, he feared not the wrath of the king. Now, is there any contradiction? You know, sometimes when you read the Bible. The Old Testament will give you the history, and the New Testament will give you the comment. And sometimes you'll find the comment doesn't seem to agree with the history. And yet we know both are true. How are you going to reconcile history with the Holy Spirit's judgment? Now, this verse has been a real difficulty with many commentators. And of course, there are two different interpretations. First is, if this referred to the incident that Moses, after he killed the Egyptian, he fled, then the only explanation is, it is true. He was afraid that the news was spread. The king knew about that, and so he fled. But at the same time, he was a man of faith. In other words, the reason why he left Egypt, instead of give up himself, was because he believed that God still had his hand upon him. So he would not just expose himself to the king, cast himself upon the mercy of Pharaoh, and give up the work that God had called him. Instead of that, he persevered because he saw the invisible one. Now, that is one explanation. There is another explanation. And the other explanation is, this does not refer to his fleeing from Egypt. Rather, it referred to the time when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You remember in Exodus, the last time that Moses came before Pharaoh and warned Pharaoh, if he will not let the people go, then something terrible will happen. The destroyer will come and destroy all the firstborn of Egypt. And you know, Pharaoh did not believe it. And he was angry with Moses. He said, Moses, beware. If you see me, my face again, I will have your life. Moses was threatened by the wrath of Pharaoh. But Moses went out, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. Instead, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The reason why the second explanation is possible is because you notice the different tenses used in these verses. Chronologically, of course, he fled Egypt first, and then he led the children of Israel out of Egypt through a Passover feast. In other words, after the Passover, he left Egypt. So it would seem that verse 27 should refer to his escape, because in verse 28, it mentioned the Passover. But in verse 28, it used a present participle, has celebrated, in the original. So people think that because of the difference in tenses, it can refer to the coming out of Egypt. Now, whatever it may be, I think it illustrates one thing, and that is faith is necessary for our spiritual life. If we want spiritual life, we have to have faith. Without faith, there is no spiritual life. Without faith, Moses will not be hid for 3 months. He will die. Without faith, Moses will not choose the reproach of Christ. Without faith, he will not be able to withstand the wrath of Pharaoh and persevere to the very end. So far as spiritual life is concerned, you need faith. And I believe we all understand that. But there is another side, and that is spiritual work. If we want to go do God's work, if it is a spiritual work, it has to be by faith. In other words, without faith, no spiritual work can be done. Any work that is done without faith is not God's work, is not spiritual work. By faith, Moses celebrated the Passover. By faith, Moses led the people out of Egypt. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. So you find that the work of God has to be done by faith. Without faith, no spiritual work can be done. Think for a moment the celebration of Passover. Moses went before Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. If not, then all the firstborn will be killed. And then God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to prepare a lamb for each house. And on that day, that night, every family was to kill that lamb and put the blood upon the doorpost and the lintel. And then the whole family will be gathered in the house and feast upon the lamb. Because on that night, the destroyer will pass through all the land of Egypt. And when he saw no blood at the door, he will shed blood within the house. Moses told this to the children of Israel. And he also told it to Pharaoh, that this night, all the firstborn will be killed. Now, how did he know that this will happen? Never in history, something like that had happened before. There was no precedent that Moses could lean upon. It was the first time. There was no example to follow. And yet because God had said so, Moses believed in what God had said. It is by faith that he celebrated the Passover. If he did not have faith, would he believe that there will be a destroyer coming to destroy all the firstborn? If he did not have faith, would he believe that the blood of the Lamb could deliver the children of Israel? Now to the worldly people, it seems to be absurd. How could a blood of the Lamb substitute the blood of the firstborn? But by faith, Moses celebrated the Passover. It is a work of faith. Forty years ago, Moses started to work for God. When he was 40 years old, you remember, it came to his mind to go out and to see how his brethren were. So he went out. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was working for God. And he was. But he took the initiative. It was not a work of faith. It was himself who took the initiative. He did not wait upon God. He was not sent by God at that particular moment. He did not consult God as to how to do it. But he took upon himself the work for God. He took the initiative. He went out himself. He did it on his own, by his own strength, with his eloquence and with his physical prowess? It was working for God, but not working with God. And you know, brothers and sisters, there is a great difference between working for God and working with God. Working for God is working your own work. But working with God is doing His work. Outwardly, sometimes it may seem about the same thing. But when you come to the source of it, you find a great difference. Working for God is your initiation. Working with God originates from God. Working for God is working with your own wisdom and strength. But working with God is in His power and in His strength. Working for God is for your own glory, but working with God is for His glory. Working for God does not require faith, because you can do it. But working with God requires faith. Without faith, nothing can be done. So you find that there is a great difference between Moses' service unto God. 40 years ago, it was working for God. But 40 years later, it was working with God. Why? Because God sent him. When he was 80 years old, you remember, he thought that that was the end of himself. And yet God said, go. How? Moses said, how can I do it? How can I go? How can I deliver the children of Israel? I cannot do it. And you know what God said? God said, I'm with you. I will go with you. It is not a matter of what you can do. It is a matter of what I'm going to do. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, God's work can only be done by God Himself. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. Moses cannot do it. Paul cannot do it. No one can do it. God's work can only be done by God Himself. But He will do it through you, through me, through Moses, through Paul. But it is He who does the work. So here you'll find in the case of Moses, by faith, he did the work. All along through the 40 years, from the time in Egypt, through the wilderness, up to the time when the children of Israel came to the eastern shore of Jordan. You'll find during those 40 years, all the works that Moses did, he did by faith. You can see very clearly that it wasn't Moses. It was God. Sometimes you'll find Moses was puzzled. Sometimes you'll find Moses was on the verge of giving up. Moses said, now why? I just couldn't do it. Why did you send me? I made a fool of myself. And he was, a number of times he wanted to give up. It wasn't Moses. It was God who did the work. It was God in Moses that did the work. And because of this, you'll find by faith the work was done. In the whole history of Moses' service unto God, there was one occasion that Moses seemed to lose faith. And that was recorded in Numbers chapter 20. You remember the children of Israel, they came to the wilderness of Sin, and at that time there was no water. So they, the people, just murmured and complained, and they began to accuse Moses and say, "Now, Moses, you led us here and you will just let us die in the wilderness, you know. It's much better if we die in Egypt. Now, why do you do such a thing? We have no water to drink." And when they complained, Moses fell upon his face before the Lord and before the people, as he usually did. Then the Lord said, "Moses, got up. Take that staff from before the presence of God, that is in the tabernacle. Go to the rock, gather the people together, and speak to the rock, and water will come out." Moses got up, he took the staff from before the ark, he gathered the people together to the rock that followed them. But instead of speaking to the rock, you remember at that occasion, he was so provoked in his spirit. He was so angry. He lost control of himself. He lost faith. So instead of speaking to the rock, you remember he smote the rock once and twice. But God hallowed himself. In spite of what Moses did, God vindicated himself by letting the water coming out in great abundance of the rock. Moses disobeyed God, but God vindicated himself by giving the people the water. Now, according to Psalm 106, so far as the people were concerned, the Bible said Moses' spirit was provoked. And he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Because Moses' spirit was so provoked, he got so angry. So when he spoke to the people, he spoke inadvertently. He said, "You rabble, I give you water to drink." He did not honor God. He misrepresented God in the sight of the people. But so far as God was concerned, what was God's comment on this incident? God told Moses, "Because you do not believe me and hallowed me, therefore you shall not lead the people into the promised land." So in other words, you'll find so far as God is concerned, it is a matter of faith. Moses, at that particular juncture, he lost his faith. He did not believe that by speaking to the rock, water will come out. Now, it came out once when he smote it. So he thought it's better safe and smite it. So he smote it not only once. He thought once probably would not happen. And twice. It was unbelief. And you know another thing? The staff that he used to smite the rock was not Moses' rod. It was Aaron's staff. Because God said, "Take that staff from before the presence of the Lord, before the ark." And it was Aaron's rod that budded that was before the ark. So in other words, it was just exercising priestly authority. And the water will come forth. Why? Because the rock had already been smitten. It did not need to be smitten again. Just speak and water will come out. But Moses did not believe. So when he smote the rock with Aaron's staff, you know what happened? The flower, the bud, will all be broken. In typology, you know, it is a very important thing. Why? Because the rock is Christ. Christ is the rock, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He is the rock that followed them. Follow the children of Israel through the wilderness. And because Christ was smitten on the cross, once water comes forth, life comes out of him. It is done once and for all. You do not need to have Christ crucified a second time in order to have life given. Once and for all, he was crucified for us. He was smitten for us. And water comes out. Life comes out from him. All you need to do when you want to enjoy his life is to speak by faith. Is to speak through priestly function. Take up what he has already done and just apprehend it, claim it by faith, and water will come out. Life will flow again. But instead of believing, you find Moses did a terribly wrong thing. Unbelief. That was the only occasion you find Moses really did not believe. And because of that, he was not able to lead the people into the promised land. The work could not be done. In other occasions, you find Moses sometimes wavered. Sometimes he felt he couldn't do it. Sometimes he wanted to give up. But when God assured him, he always believed. He always believed. And because of that, he was able to do God's work. So, dear brothers and sisters, we who are called to serve the Lord, remember, not only our spiritual life requires faith, our spiritual work requires faith too. Oftentimes we think now, for our spiritual life, of course, we have to have faith. Without faith, we will not even believe in the Lord Jesus. We are saved by faith. By grace through faith. Without faith, how can we receive the grace of God? We can understand that faith is important. And not only faith is important in the beginning of our spiritual life, faith is important all along our spiritual life. It is from faith to faith. We must not only believe that Christ has borne our sins on Calvary's cross, so that our sins may be forgiven. We also must believe that when Christ was crucified, our old man was crucified with him, so that we may be delivered from the power of sin. Now many believers have the faith to believe in Christ bearing our sins in his body on the cross and receive the forgiveness of sin, but they do not have the faith to believe that Christ has already taken you and me away on the cross. So that no longer live you, but Christ who lives in you. Now you do not believe that, and because you do not believe, you do not experience the liberty of the sons of God. But if you do believe, reckon yourself as dead unto sin in Christ, reckon yourself as alive unto God in Christ, and you'll find you live. It is by faith. All along our spiritual life, it is a matter of faith. Believing him, that he is. Believing that he is the rewarder of all who seeks after him. Brothers and sisters, we need faith. Without faith, we cannot live. Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is our spiritual life. But we tend to forget that not only in the area of life, faith is absolutely needed. In the area of work, faith is essential, very essential, fundamental. Without faith, you can work for God. And many are working for God. But without faith, you cannot work with God. If you really want to do God's work, you have to believe. You know, I like that verse very much. John chapter 6, verse 29. It is a verse that probably many people will overlook. You remember the occasion when our Lord Jesus used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people, and these people were so happy because the food problem was solved, and you do not need to work. Unemployment is no problem. You have food anyway. So they wanted to make Christ the king, and Christ sent them away. But the next day they came to him again, and the Lord Jesus said, "No, you do not come because you see the sign. You come because you want to be filled." And the Lord said, "Now labor not for the food that perishes, but work for the food that does not perish." And immediately you find the Jews say, "Now, Master, what do we do that we may works the works of God?" They say, "We want to work for God." All right. What should we do? And you remember what the Lord said? In John 6:29, the Lord said, "This is the work of God." Listen. "This is the work of God. Believe in Him whom God has sent." What is God's work? What is doing God's work? The people think, now what should we do? We want to do something. Maybe we sacrifice something. Maybe we serve in some things. Maybe we are engaged in some activities. We do something for God. That is doing God's work. The Lord said, no. Doing God's work is believing. Faith. Faith. Believing. Believe the one whom God has sent. In other words, you believe Christ. If you believe Him, you are doing God's work. Why? Because God's work can only be done by God Himself. So if you believe Him, He is able to do His work in and through you. But if you do not believe Him, you are doing the work and He is not doing it. You know the difference? If faith is not involved in your work, it is not God's work. If it does not require faith, and you can do it, and you are doing it, remember, you are working for God, but you are not working with God. It is not doing God's work. Because God's work is essentially a work of faith. It is true, faith without works is dead. But work without faith is also dead works. And we need to be delivered from dead works. Faith is essential to God's work. Now, what do we mean by that? It means, first of all, if it is by faith that we do the work, then God has to take the initiative. In other words, the work cannot be originated from you. Even if you may have the thought of doing something good, and yet it is you, it is not God. God has to initiate that work. Number two, if it is by faith, it has to be done in God's way, not in your way. Number three, if it is by faith, it has to be done in God's time and not your time. We are always in a hurry. When Moses was 40, he said, "That's the time." But God said, "Too early." 80. When you come to the end of yourself, then the time is come. We think when we come to the end of ourselves, then the opportunity is gone. So we have to do it. But God said, no, you are doing it. I'm going to do it, so until you come to the end of yourself, then the time has come. Number four, if it is by faith, it has to be done in His power and not in our own strength. Number five, if it is by faith, it will be done to His glory and not to our glory. So when you see if it is God's work, if it is by faith, it is actually a work of Him, through Him, and for Him. It has to be of Him. It has to be through Him. That is, by His power. And it has to be unto Him for His glory. That is God's work. So, dear brothers and sisters, do remember this one thing. That if you really want to serve the Lord, in whatever capacity it may be, in whatever area it may be, remember, it has to be done by faith. Without faith, no one can please God. Without faith, no one can serve God. You have to do it by faith. That is entirely looking off unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our work suffers. When our faith ceases, the work ends. If the work can be carried on when our faith falters, or if the work can continue when our faith is lost, you know it is not God's work. Your work, and you are doing it. Faith is absolutely necessary. It is the ingredient, essential ingredient of God's work. And thank God Moses was a man of faith. You know, it's very strange. As you read the Bible, you will find that on the very point that a person seems to be strong, he usually fails in that point. Moses is a man of faith, and his faith failed him in Meribah. Usually it's that. And even when you come to our experience, you find the same thing. What you seem to be strong is where you may fall. And because of that, we know how we need to cast ourselves up utterly upon the mercy of God. But Moses not only served God with faith, he believed. He also served God with faithfulness. Now, faithfulness and faith are related, but a little different. Faith is towards God, but faithfulness is towards the work that God has entrusted you with. Moses has faith in God, and he is faithful in the work that God has entrusted him. You know, that comment of the Holy Spirit is really marvelous. Because we read Hebrews chapter 3. You know, it says, and Moses is faithful in all God's house. But this is a quotation from Numbers chapter 12. And you know the background of Numbers chapter 12. Here you find Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the wilderness, you know, and they began to move out of Mount Sinai and move towards the promised land. And while they were doing that, you find something happened. Miriam, Moses' sister, elder sister, conspired with Moses' elder brother, Aaron. You know, the leadership over the children of Israel was composed by these three brothers and sisters, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam was the prophetess. Aaron was the high priest. Moses was the king. And here you'll find the leadership. But somehow you'll find there was jealousy. There was jealousy. And as we mentioned before, probably the jealousy began with really a woman's jealousy over another woman. In other words, Miriam was jealous over Moses' wife. See, Miriam was an elder sister, is always looking, taking care of Moses. You remember when Moses was in that ark, Miriam was watching, you know. And ever since there was that motherly attitude of that elder sister towards Moses. So she wanted Moses to be under her. But here you'll find another woman came into Moses' life, Moses' wife. And of course, Moses' wife gained the affection of Moses. So here you'll find Miriam began to be jealous. And he began to say these Kurdish women. Actually, she wasn't a Kurdish woman. But of course, maybe of his dark complexion, she just want to, you know, put her down. And out of that jealousy, you know, it's a personal jealousy, and it grew into a kind of conspiracy. He began to influence Aaron, and they began to accuse Moses. He said, "Now does God speak to you alone? Does not God speak to us too? Why do you take that position above us?" Actually, Moses served God very faithfully. He was just doing what God had commanded him to do. He wasn't ambitious at all, and he wasn't arrogant in himself. He was just doing his duty, and yet he was misunderstood, and he was unjustly accused, not only by the people, but even by those who are nearest to him, his sister and brother. Now, that was the occasion. When this thing happened, Moses said nothing. He did not argue back. He did not even explain. He just left it to God. And the Bible said Moses was the meekest of all men. That was where his meekness was manifested. But God vindicated him. So God called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tent, to the door of the tent of meeting. So these three stood at the door of the tent of meeting, and God came down, and God was very angry. God said, "If there is any prophet among you, I will speak to him in vision and in dream, but not so to my servant Moses. He was faithful in all God's house. I speak to him face to face. How dare you accuse him?" And God left in anger. And when the glory left, Aaron, being a high priest, trained, his eyes were trained, he saw immediately Miriam was attacked with leprosy. And of course you know the story, how Aaron pleaded with Moses, and Moses pleaded with God, and God forgave and healed Miriam. But the whole journey was delayed for 7 days. Moses was faithful in all God's house. If we want to serve God, faithfulness is very, very important. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it is said, what is required of a steward is faithfulness. Paul said, "I do not mind if I'm examined by anybody or in man's day. I do not even examine myself." Why? Because all these are nothing. It will not justify anyone. But it is the Lord who examines me. What is required of a servant of the Lord is faithfulness. In what particular way was Moses faithful in all God's house? I think there is one place that demonstrates it more than any place else, and that is when he built the tabernacle. You remember God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle? God gave Moses the pattern from the mountain. And again, Moses was oracularly warned that he should do everything according to the pattern of the mount. He should not deviate, he should not change, he do not do anything to it, but to do everything according to the pattern given to him on the mountain. And Moses built that tabernacle according, exactly, to the pattern shown him. Now that was where his faithfulness was manifested. Now remember Moses, when he was in Egypt, he learned all the learnings of Egypt. As we have mentioned before, Egypt at that time was the first empire in the world. It was noted for its architectural feat. Even today, you go to visit the pyramid. Not only the massive stones can be brought up and put together into such height without all these modern inventions, but even astronomically, it was perfect. There was a hole in the Great Pyramid that points to the north, exact north. So Moses must be a great engineer. He must be a great architect. He must be a great builder. He could build an empire. And for God to ask him to build a tabernacle, that was nothing. God could very well tell Moses, build me a tabernacle. And Moses will build a tabernacle that will be gorgeous, that will be glorious, that will be tremendous. Maybe from the human standpoint, it was much more beautiful, much more massive than the one that God gave the pattern. Most likely it will. You know, the tabernacle really is not too big. It is beautiful, but you can make it even more beautiful. Sometimes I think it was almost like an insult to Moses. God gave him all the details. What materials to use. How much. How to make it. Where to put it. Everything, even a nail, a thread, everything is laid down. A pattern there. And God said, Moses, don't change it. Do it accordingly. Well, why did God warn Moses more than once? It showed that there was a temptation, right? There must be the temptation there. It was natural, you know? It was natural. For one who was so good an architect, an engineer, and a builder, when he took that blueprint in his hand, he said, well, this can be improved a little bit. That can be enlarged a little bit, you know. There must be the temptation there. So God warned Moses, said, don't do it. Don't do it. And Moses was faithful in the sense he rejected all of the temptations to change, to improve, to alter. But he faithfully followed it to the very dot. Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, why is this so important? In Hebrews chapter 3, it is said, And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a ministering servant. He was a servant. He was not a master. Full, a testimony of the things to be spoken after. Now remember, the tabernacle that God ordered Moses to build was but the shadow. Where is the reality? For the testimony of the things to be spoken after. In other words, that tabernacle, which was built after the heavenly pattern, was actually a shadow of the testimony of the things to come. And what is the tabernacle? The reality of the tabernacle that will be coming? The church. The church. The Lord said, I will build my church. God said, this is my holy habitation, and I will dwell in it. In other words, you'll find that God's thought from eternity, past time to eternity, is God wants to dwell among men. You know, it is a wonderful thing. The Father dwells in the Son, and the Son dwells in the Father. There is a mutual dwelling, you know. The Father makes His Son as His home, and the Son makes His Father as His home. And they're always home. And what sweet home it is. And yet you find it is the will of God to extend that home to include us. God wants to live in us, that we may live in Him. We are to be that tabernacle by which He can dwell among men. But what kind of a dwelling place that God can dwell? Even the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. God can only dwell in His Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, satisfied, resting. God can only dwell in His Son. But it is the will of God that His Son should be the firstborn of many sons. Therefore you'll find the church, the tabernacle, in reality, that God wants to build that He may dwell in, must be built with Christ, in you, in me, in all of us. It has to be built exclusively of Christ. Nothing else. You cannot try to put some other material, foreign material, into that building. You cannot add anything more than Christ to it. You cannot take anything less out of Christ from it. You cannot change it in any way. In other words, the church of God that God is building has to be built according to Christ. Not according to doctrine, not according to creeds, not according to teachings, not according to forms, not according to systems, not according to methods. No. It has to be built according to the living Christ. The Christ that God has revealed and we have confessed and experienced. It has to be Christ and nothing but Christ. And that is the reason why in building the tabernacle, it has to be everything according to pattern. And what is our pattern today? Christ. Our pattern, New Testament church pattern, is not that elders and deacons. No. Our New Testament pattern of the church is not the apostolic creed. No. However good it may be. The pattern of the house of God today is Christ. the living Christ. Not the knowledge about Christ, but Christ Himself. And dear brothers and sisters, that is where faithfulness comes in. Are we faithful in all God's house? Moses was just playing with shadow, but we are working with reality. How much more serious it is today than at the time of Moses. But Moses was faithful in all God's house, and how are we? Are we faithful? God is doing His work, and His work is building His church with people such as we are. Some may be like foremen, like Paul. He laid the foundation. But others will be building upon it. Now, brothers and sisters, we are all engaged in God's work. But how faithful we are. Are we building with gold, silver, and precious stone? Or are we building with wood, hay, and stubble? Are we building with the nature of God, the redemption of Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit? Or are we working with our own life, nature, our own work, for our own glory? What is it? Is it Christ? That is where faithfulness really comes. So do remember, if we want to serve God, we have to serve Him faithfully. And by being faithful, it means that everything has to be according to the heavenly pattern, which is Christ. Faithfulness also is seen in diligence. If you are faithful, it means that you do it diligently. Oh, how diligent was Moses. If you read Exodus, Numbers, I don't think you can complain that Moses was lazy at any time. You have to confess that Moses was a most diligent person. Most diligent person. Oh, how he labored incessantly. How he prayed. How he interceded. How he judged. How he led. You know, Moses was most diligent in exercising whatever God has entrusted him. That's faithfulness. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be faithful. You know, some God, in that parable of the talents, you'll find that one servant, God gave talents according to different ability. One gave 5 talents, one gave 2 talents, and one gave 1 talent, according to their ability. In other words, God has made us all different, you know. Thank God for that. No 2 person looks alike. No 2 temperaments are exactly the same. The ability, natural ability that God has given us are all different. And it is in no way of any inequality there. It is just that God loves variety, that's all. And so He makes us all different. We are all different. You know, and according to our different ability, God would give 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. It doesn't make any difference. If you have greater gifts, more is required. If you have less gifts, less is required. But if you have given 5 talents, you earn 5 talents, and you pass. And if you have 2 talents, you earn 2 talents, and you pass. The same way. But if you have 1 talent, and you bury it, then you don't pass. Be diligent, trade, function as members of the body of Christ. According to the gift and grace that God has given to each, let us function accordingly. Every member work its part for the self-building of the body in love. That's diligence. That's faithfulness. And finally, faithfulness simply means when you serve, you do not serve with ulterior motive. You are not trying to build a kingdom for yourself. You are not trying to build a monument. That will be the Tower of Babel. But you are building the house of God for Him to own and to occupy. In other words, faithfulness means you do it all for Him and not for yourself. Faith and faithfulness. These are the things that we see in the life of Moses, in his serving God. And I do believe that it is God's will, it is God's desire, that we who are serving Him in our generation will serve likewise. Faith and faithfulness. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that we see in Thy servant Moses faith and faithfulness. O our Father, we know that this is something that Thou dost require of us. We pray that we may always look up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that nothing we do is not by faith. And Lord, if we should lose faith, then Lord, we ask that Thou will stop us, that we may return to Thee, look to Thee, and faith regain. And Father, we do also ask that we may be faithful in that which Thou hast committed to us. Oh, give us vision, that heavenly pattern, and teach us how to diligently and faithfully do it according to Thy will. And we want to give Thee all the glory in the name of our Lord Jesus.